Kyle. I'm with Danny. We are talking Marauders issue 2 this episode. Now, last week we talked about X-Men issue 2. We saw two islands get down.
It was steamy.
Get dirty. It was interesting. We saw some shenanigans in the Summer family, some weird sitcom-y vibes in my X-Men, which was interesting.
Yeah, very campy.
Very campy. Very weird family dynamics happening. But that's not happening this week. We are talking Marauders. We're talking pirates. We're talking smuggling. We're talking about drugs and black markets and white markets and all of the markets.
And the red markets?
the red markets, yeah.
To match all the preliminary characters that are set up in the Hellfire Club. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And so we start off in this issue with some top secret documents. Essentially, what happens is word got out, right, of their what they did in last issue, right, where they in Russia when Kitty Pryde or Kate Pryde was looking in on this refugee's cell phone camera and going like, we're the Marauders, if you need our help you call us.
Well, wasn't it like the whole mission was meant to be like essentially a quasi viral marketing like kind of excursion to kind of put the world on notice about like not only the mutants but to kind of put the focus on the Marauders as them being the main like kind of I guess you could say flagship of dealing with mutants and piracy and things like that, but more so also on purpose to kind of pull the focus away from other parts of what the mutants are doing and what the Quiet Council is trying to accomplish. Because it almost feels like the Marauders have been set up to be a much more, or well, actually, it's pretty much noted that the Marauders are now set up as like, kind of like a, I guess you could say, a red herring for a lot of the actual more secretive mutant missions that are going on, like stuff that could probably be tied to like what the Fallen Angels are doing or X-Force or even like the greater X-Men like team is trying to accomplish. The Marauders are just like the poster child out there, like sailing the seas and like liberating people, but it's kind of funny how they're using them to be more as like a mislead and not the actual thing that they're doing. But, you know, that doesn't bother Kitty. She's having a great time with it.
She's getting down. Yeah. And they apparently after they go to Russia, they stop in Tokyo, get down on some whiskey bars, go to some gay dance clubs, underground casinos, and they dip into what is called a slush fund. Do you know what a slush fund is?
I've heard the term before, but I've always assumed it just meant, like, extra money for whatever. Like
yeah.
Money for drinking. Let's get slushed. I don't know.
And it notes that Tokyo is very expensive. So they got down. They went hard in Tokyo.
Yeah.
And then that evening, after getting down, they commandeered a pleasure craft that was chartered for a birthday party. And then what happens? Then they essentially they're on their way to Shanghai, right?
Yeah, they're. I think that they were doing like another follow up rendezvous where they have someone that they're meeting with to kind of get their next marching orders.
Yes,
like from Emma. And this is all kind of being like broken down in this like top secret dossier that has like a few things blacked out. I assume this is because they're sending it to the U.S. Naval Intelligence. This is something coming from like the something in the United States. Like this is them communicating amidst their branches, but we're not known who this is from. We just know it's on the desk of X. Maybe it's from Hickman. Maybe Jonathan Hickman, the head of X. He was writing this. He's trying to let the characters in his story know that what's happening. You know, we don't know Hickman too well beyond like, you know, what we read about him and how we see him. He could be just like Grant Morrison. He could be just as crazy.
Could be.
He could think all his characters and his writing are connected to reality and he's willing it with his pen. But fortunately, we're being brought more to earth here. I mean, this is Jerry Dugan and I'm not familiar with him. I heard people were divisive about his Guardians of the Galaxy run not that long ago, but if this is how he's going to write Marauders, I'm fine with it.
I have
less gripes with Marauders than Fallen Angels, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, those poor, poor bastard children. I'd like redacted to let me know how much we are able to dip into the slush fund. I wonder if it's the same redacted name on the top.
It's a bigger block, so I don't, maybe something else.
Who knows? And essentially, they're not having it. The naval intelligence are just like, what's going on? There's just a trail of chaos being left. But it's nice that the mutants are giving them this information. Here, this is where we are in the seas, you know. We're causing a little chaos, but no worries.
They want that focal point, though. It's like they want the limelight so that they can get everyone's focus away from other things, I think. It feels like that's how they're playing it. And even they know to it in a few ways. But, I mean, this dossier is really just like the majority of the communication amongst the United States branches and the more UN-type branches being behind, and that they need to play catch-up because the mutants are popping off around the world, and they're just like, man, we don't know what the fuck to do about it. This is crazy. Are you seeing this? I'm seeing this shit. Fuck, what do we do?
And, yeah. So we cut to... Well, it looks like Emma Frost and some cuckoos.
All of the cuckoos.
All of them.
We're back up to full cuckoo.
Yeah, and they're just doing the psychic talk, talking in the psychic world, doing their thing, and
projection conversation.
Yeah. And she mentions that there will be no Lord Imperial. Now, do you know any Lord Imperial from past comics?
No, I'm not in the actual Hellfire mythos.
Yeah, or any of the Marvel mythos, I guess.
No, I'm not sure what that is pertaining to.
Neither. I was curious.
Maybe the Lord Imperial was, since it's referring to the Hellfire trading part, like maybe the Lord Imperial was just like the overseer of the finances and like the one who kind of ran that stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean, we're given the cuckoos, or the cuckoos responding as if they're passing on all this. Is that if Emma was coming to them to be the new, Red Queen, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, because this is kind of, there's two stories being told throughout this issue, and you're getting kind of a tandem of, like, Emma trying to build what the Marauders is now, and then you see what the Marauders is currently in their incarnation doing. And it's kind of like, at first you won't really get that, but then as the issue, about maybe a little bit into the issue, if not halfway through, you get, like, the clear picture that it's two stories being told at once, and they're catching up to each other in time. Like, this one's way in the past, and it's meeting up to with the current story that's going on in the same issue. Mm-hmm. And I guess she wanted all... I mean, if you pick one of the cuckoos, I guess you get all of them, so I guess she just asked them all at once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're just like, good luck, peace. They said it's going to be a shit show.
Yeah, they want nothing to do with the Hellfire Club. They're like, you deal with that. It's kind of a weird thing because it's like they refer to her as Mum, and like they talk to her kind of like that. And I know I get that because they're her clones, so it's kind of works.
Yeah, it makes sense.
But it's funny because their demeanors are way different.
Yeah.
They're just like, no, like you got to be involved in this. We don't. And Emma's like, you know, I'm disappointed, but I understand. It sucks.
Yeah.
Sebastian's a dick.
Before that, she's all like, I need to go to the Black Kings here. And they bounce. They finish their Skype call.
Yeah.
And they were also talking a little bit like essentially trust and like balance between people. There was like a underlying tone of that throughout the conversation. And because what we get next is a conversation between white and black. And this is interesting here. So
the yin and yang of the Hellfire Club, if you will.
The yin and yang of the Hellfire Club, and they're chatting and they're talking. And essentially what's going on is Sebastian Shaw is kind of doing some sneaky things.
He's double dealing.
He's
supposed to play a specific role in the Hellfire Club and also to the greater mutant nation of Krakoa. And he's trying to make a little bit of extra money on the side on top of it. And he says it's a necessary evil to pad his ledgers so he can function properly. But Emma's calling him out on that and saying that he's getting greedy and he's essentially going to be punished for it, which is what the story that's being told in tandem is like what the Marauders are doing are essentially punishing like what his actions were. And you're seeing that play out while Emma's essentially at the same time in the past talking about him being dealt with. Exactly. Or I guess it would be the future. I guess it would be the reverse that. It would be Emma's in the future, and what the Marauders have already done, they're discussing.
Right.
Yeah.
And so Sebastian Shaw is supposed to deal with the black markets, and Emma Frost deals with, like, the regular trading.
Yeah, more on the up and up, the white hat stuff.
Yeah,
he's supposed to be black hat. She's gonna do the white hat, and he's been stepping a little in her turf to make some extra money.
Yeah, he was watching like
things up.
He's been watching like Gary Vee videos or like those motivational videos where he's just like, I got my side hustle going. I got to hustle. And he's also like, this is where it is. This is where I make my $1 billion app.
And this book written by Tony Robbins, and it's just great.
Yeah, and
she's like, none of that. And he's so pissed about it because he's like, oh, you cost me so much money, you cunt.
Yeah.
And she's like, deal with it. This is your punishment. Play a role. Play that role. You should be lucky we even brought you to the table.
Yeah.
And he's so bitter about it. He's like breaking things.
Yeah, he's like punching the table.
But I mean, you literally cut to like Emma's responses are always like backed with another panel where they cut to like the Marauders and what they're doing. And essentially, you see them fucking up his side operation, which he chose. Backtrock the Leaper to be his go-to. He doesn't even like trust. He doesn't even trust mutants. Like he's like, I'm gonna have like some shady mercenary guy whose superpower is being really good at leaping.
It's crazy.
Deal with this shit, and it's funny because like he's actually able to go toe to toe with most of them except Kitty. But it's funny seeing him in his purple jumpsuit and gold and all his magistry.
I didn't know that Batroc the Leaper was in first Winter Soldier until like recently.
Yeah. He was the guy like, they fight in the opening, when they go on that ship,
And it's what's his name? That MMA fighter, that UFC fighter, that French Canadian dude.
Yeah. I just remember he was some French UFC fighter that like was real popular at the time.
Yeah, I didn't know that until recently. But yeah, Batroc the Leaper, out of all of the people, this is what we get fighting. It's interesting that he chose him. Like you said, like he didn't even trust mutants. He's just like, I'm going to go with this guy, this D-list Captain America bad guy.
Yeah, he's from his rogues gallery. He's not even like a common mutant enemy. Maybe that's why, though, he's so disconnected.
That
Does he deal with him? There's no way it's going to tie back to like
never
the other
saw it coming.
The greater Krakoan, society.
And they're fighting, and they commandeer this this party boat, which was mentioned earlier, I imagine. And it's a pretty nice boat. It's like a yacht, right?
Yeah, and it's also cool to see that Lockheed and Pyro are still doing their combo attacks.
Yes, they're still working together, which is awesome. I like those. I like them working together. And Pyro's just all like, what do you want me to do? You want me to burn him? Disfigure him? And then we get Batroc getting some punches in. Got a little punch in. And then
even kicks Storm, which I was surprised because she's a pretty good fighter, you know, overall. And he caught her offhand or off guard.
Yeah. And I like Kitty here. Or Kate. I keep calling her Kitty. She's a girl.
Everyone keeps calling her Kitty. Even Batroc calls her Kitty.
Yeah.
And we get another one of those panels of people correcting people on what their names are supposed to be.
Yes. This is my name now. Don't you forget. And we're going to just rub it down your throat. But a guy sneaks up on Kitty with a knife, and Kitty just kind of plays with him. And he's like, oh, okay, let's dance. And she literally takes him by the hands and dances with him, and then takes his arm and just twists it. And
it uses pressure points.
Yeah.
Wielding something like Aikido or like Judo, where you can like manipulate people's pressure points and momentum to like force them to like bend your will essentially in combat. Yeah. And like the maneuvering and the animation of like the choreography is just priceless. Like it's you really do get the feeling. It's like flowing from panel to panel. And then she's like, and now you dip. And he's like, please don't kill me.
Yeah.
Love that. It's so good.
It's so good. And she doesn't really use her powers until like she starts to push him off the boat, which is cool. It's just like, I'm just going to fuck you up.
Every time they show her utilizing her powers is always in such a like brilliant way. Like her powers are so fun to just watch when they're illustrated.
And she doesn't even pick him up and throw him overboard. She just pushes him through the ledge.
She like phase dips him out of the ship.
Yeah, it's great. It's beautiful. And he's just his expression is just like, oh, what's happening? I don't know.
His eyes are just wide eyed and just frightened. Like, please don't kill me.
And we got while that's happening, we still got Storm Pyro taking on Batroc. And
he's not going to be outdone or outdone by a kitty. He's going to show his fighting techniques.
Yeah,
he used bite attack.
He just straight up bites him.
Not very effective.
Yeah, not effective at all. And he calls Batroc calls him a little shit and just goes and then chops him in the neck. Just chops him in the neck. It's great.
He turned into like a defense, an attack dog because he's like, "Don't kick Storm!" Yeah, just leaves. Which how did their powers not hit him? But Pyro just jumping at him and bite him lands like without any issue.
It's great. Yeah, I don't.
Then
get
he's
it,
just like, "Trick you! Get off!" Shit. Yeah.
And then Kitty just faces through the boat, and Batroc kind of follows her down.
Oh, she yells out, "Booty inspection!"
Oh yeah, booty inspection! It's time.
See, Marauders is funny in a way where it doesn't feel campy. It's just funny, and as unlike X-Men, it's just those issues were just funny in a weird and like ironic way. This is just like delightful. Like it's just I can feel Kitty's emotions and like her demeanor through the pages. It doesn't feel like I don't have to infer it. I don't have to force it. Like I can just tell by the way they draw her and like her facial expressions and the way that they design the panels. Like it feels fun. It feels genuine in its comical aspect.
Indeed. Yeah. I couldn't agree more. And she what's happening is she's still kind of playing with Batroc, and she's like, we're going to throw you overboard, and we're going to take this ship, and we're going to destroy your ship, and we're going to take your stuff and all your things. And she just kind of pushes him off, right?
Well, yeah, he tries to reason with her because he's like, hey, you know, I understand, you know, where we're at, we're caught, we're pretty much at our wit's ends here, we can't outsmart you or overpower you. Let's do a deal. Like, there's enough cargo on this board that's worth aboard the ship that's worth millions. So, like, you know, take the ship or what have you. But let's figure out something where we can, you know, do a side deal and like sell this to whoever we can and make a fortune. And she's like, sorry, that's not gonna happen.
Nope.
This is not.
She shut it down.
This is nothing personal. And she like extends both her hands out to kind of like so they can come to like kind of an agreement. And then she grabs his hands and does literally what she did to that other guy, except for the dip part and the dance maneuvers. She just mazes him through the side of the hole and throws him off.
Yeah, that's great.
And just yells, scuttler, boys! This shit's done! Let's fucking trash this place. I'm like, oh, God, Kitty, it's so fun. I don't know if this is the most badass they've written her, but it's definitely the funnest they've ever written her.
Dude, this is at her top for sure.
Yeah, I just picture her kind of buzzed the whole time, like she's just drinking rum all the time, like she's a real pirate.
Yeah, for
she's
sure.
She's so a real pirate in this.
Definitely.
She embodies it well. Yeah, and Batroc's dealt with him and his little like flotation of people just sitting there like fuck.
Right. And this next panel is great. It's just Kitty on the edge of her new party boat. She goes, set a course for Taipei. We have a friend to meet. And in the background, you just see a sinking ship. It is beautiful.
Yeah.
I love this. I got to stop here and just point out that this comic puts a smile on my face more than any of the other X-Men comics, regardless of like story or plot. It does have a way to put a smile on my face.
This is genuinely like a witty and funny comic. Like,
yeah,
I don't know if that was meant to be on purpose or if that's just due to the cavalier and like deadpan approach to a lot of this stuff. They definitely, I mean, because you also look at the subject matter of some of the other ones, like X-Force is pretty gritty. Regular X-Men is weird and like uncomfortable. Just like, you're like, I want to read, but man, this is like, I don't want to read this with another person at the same time. What's happening? And then you get New Mutants is just, the funniness of New Mutants always just like kind of falls flat. I'm more interested in like what the plot is developing. Like, New Mutants almost feels like a lighter version of even this. So it's like, they're like the junior version of what Marauders wants to be. Or what of what they want to be, what Marauders is, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree with you 100%. It's pure good comedy in the Marauders issues. I mean, you got to be funny, though. You can't take yourself seriously and have that kind of logo with the giant skull in the
skull.
Yeah. Then it would suck because then you're just like, oh, we're Marauders. We are so hard. We're so metal. Look at us. It's like, oh, God. No.
Yeah, don't do that. Please don't do that.
Yeah.
And then you see Batroc on the lifeboat with some men, and he's all like, can we have some drinks, some refreshment? And Pyro was like, nah, bro. Nah. We drained it all. And yeah, essentially he's like, the Coast Guard's on his way, peace. And then they cut to Taipei and they got a warm welcome. They got like people with cash. They're all like, yo, thank you. I have 50. What about 55?
He's like, selling their boat and shit.
Yeah. What do you want for it? Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's great. I like how they just take and they're all like, all right, we're going to turn this into cash. And then what are we going to do with this cash? We'll find out soon.
They're embracing the pirate side. That's
for They're sure. really embracing the pirate side for sure. Hardcore. Like, it's interesting. It's good. It's cool to see.
Though I do buy this for Pyro. Like, his character's always had that kind of kind of scoundrel approach to things. It's weird. It's weird for Bobby to be like this, but
yeah, he seemed always like a nice boy.
Yeah, like it was like, I don't know about this guy's like, should we sell it? But then again, Bobby in the last like 4 or 5 years has not been written well. He's just all over the place. He doesn't even know who he is.
Yeah, and then we cut to back to Shaw and Emma Frost and Sebastian Shaw's just like, I lost Batroc, not Batroc.
He's so mad at me. What am I going to do? He's going to leap all over the place, man.
Right.
Yeah. He's just like, I got to do right by him. Yeah. You cost me millions. My ship is gone. And she's like, this was a lesson that I had to teach you.
Yeah.
And he's just not taking it. He's like, you owe me. You now need to give me the option to install the third member, the red monarch, essentially, either the king or queen. And and she's like, no. Like, you got to understand, this was your fault. I don't owe you anything.
Yes. Yeah. And it's great because there's nothing he can really do about it. What do you can't tell or anything like that. What are you going to do?
Yeah, and she's like, that's besides the point anyways, because I've already decided who the new red leader will be. And it's Luke Skywalker. He will be Red Leader.
God damn it. Red Leader. Red 5.
Red Fox, anybody? that's all I can think of when I say Red Leader. But yeah, the new Red, I guess you would say Queen. And they cut red to Kitty. Queen.
And they cut to Kitty.
Getting her handle just, rum.
Yeah, she's just getting some rum right now. She's getting some rum, and they're just hanging out. They're partying. They're at a Iceman's kissing a man. He's getting down on some guy, which I didn't even notice until now. A freaking freaking the dragon's getting up all on this lady that's very creeped out.
Yeah, she's not having that so much. She's a little put off by, like, you know, Lockheed just crawling on her face. I like that cut from like from Kitty partying to just like, shit.
Yeah, she's just like, ah, we were supposed to meet someone, and then we cut to The man, Bishop. Yeah. I love Bishop.
Bishop's now, dope.
Yeah, Bishop's dope. Now, he's also like, you're late. The you're late cliche, which is, it's unnecessary.
It's more fucked. It gets more fucked up from there because it's already fucked up to be late for seeing Bishop. But then she's just like, let's go to a tattoo parlor. Come, Bishop. And it's like, wow. What a fucked thing to do to Bishop, to go into a tattoo, take him into a tattoo parlor. The one place he'll never, ever probably want to go again for his entire life. Like, I didn't realize that right away, but then when I was like, when she was asking everybody
for
their tattoos, and he's like, I already have mine. Yeah. I'm just like, whoa, kitty, like, that's, maybe your drinking is kind of turning you into a bit of a dick alcoholic. You just don't really care about the feelings of people around you. You're numb.
Yeah. But before they go to the tattoo parlor, Bishop informs them that Xavier is dead. He's been assassinated. He is no longer alive, which we found out in X-Force issue number one. They look sad. And then, but Bobby essentially is just like, believe in the five. Praise be to the five. They will help us. They will bring him back. But that doesn't help too much. And Kitty dies.
Pyro says, you don't know that. And I'm like, yes, you do. You were brought back.
Just brought back, yeah.
You were dead and it brought you. How are you the skeptic here? He's just like, we don't know if it works. He's like, wait, didn't you?
Yeah, you did, buddy. Come on.
All right, whatever. This is a bit of a forced. I felt like this is what we were trying to get away from.
Opinion. Yeah.
Like, we were trying to get away from the seriousness of death, and it's like, it feels like this was very forced right here. I mean, her drinking and everything, like, I guess is fine, because that's kind of how they're making her character, but this whole little, like, back and forth between Bobby and Pyro, I was just like, why? Like, who, what? We're not supposed to care about these things. This is not how X-Men comics work anymore. Death is not a relevant plot to, like, build up tension and sadness. Like, someone with Pyro, who's been resurrected, arguing that point is just almost like a hat in a hat situation.
Yes. So she drinks, heads to the tattoo parlor, and she's just like, we're making ourselves at home here, deal with it. And the tattoo artist is just like, if you're going to be here, you're going to get inked. And we cut to Kitty getting a tattoo. It's pretty awesome. And everyone more or less is just like, I'll pass. Right? Does everybody pass?
Yeah, well, except for Pyro,
who gets Pyro.
Both Kitty and Pyro get tattoos, and both Kitty and Pyro's tattoos are terrible. I mean, okay, Storm makes sense.
He got the skull, right? Yeah.
Oh, it's so bad. Well, starting at Storm, like, that makes sense. She's like, I'll never get a tattoo, because, like, she embodies, like, a goddess, pretty much, so, like, her body's a temple. And like we already said, it's fucked up that Bishop's even in this place. Like, why she dragged him in here, I'll never know.
Yeah.
But then Iceman was like, I can't get a tattoo because there's no way you wouldn't see it through my ice body. And I'm like, well, wait, your skin's translucent. So why would your tattoo not change? I don't understand. I had to think about that. I was like, how does that even work?
It probably is flurry, though, with all that, like, layers.
Or does he even, like, hold, doesn't it just turn translucent and you just see through it? Like, ice, like, maybe it has a shape, like, you can kind of see, like, a bit of an outline of something, but would it even stand out? Like, Colossus, does his tattoos show up? Like, how does that work?
Yeah.
But then you get Pyro here, who's just like, give me that, one of the worst ideas a human being could ever make, and that's getting a fucking face tattoo.
Jeez. Yeah. There he goes, making some bad decisions, or good ones, who knows.
I don't care who I offend with this, but that is a specific type of failure in human society.
You definitely have to be a certain type of person to do that, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm not worried about offending people with face tattoos, because I'm sure most of them don't even know how to use the internet, so.
There you go.
I'm safe.
Okay. So she finishes up her tattoo, throws some cash at the tattoo artist. He's all like, yo, that's a lot of money.
Rip him up.
And she goes, remember this when I return broke someday. Just makes out with him for a second. Yeah, it's great.
Super cavalier.
She's like, who are you? And she's like, I'm a former school teacher. I'm going to take this. She takes his jacket and just leaves.
Oh, man. Definitely a tale of our times, though, because if you would have switched this role with, like, anyone else, like, if Pyro was the one who was playing the lead in this and he did it and he kissed some girl, like, people would be up in arms about that. Be like, you just forcefully kissed that woman and threw that money at her. But shit. I don't think anyone's going to say shit about this.
No. It's a badass moment. No one should say anything about it.
The dude was paid off. He bought her. Or she bought him. He's I own you now when I come back for it. This is a down payment on me crashing on your couch. You're like my fallback boyfriend now.
Yeah.
If the mutant piracy thing doesn't work out, this will be my fallback.
Yes. And we cut to they walk towards God, I can't look at that. I can't look at Pyro's face.
It's so bad, right?
Yeah.
There's Gateway waiting for him, though, which is weird.
Yeah.
I think they killed him off during, like, the X-Force arcs back in, like, the late 2000s.
I don't remember the last. It's been a while since I've heard that name.
I think it was Bison was going around, or Bastion was going around killing off all the teleporting mutants, like the ones with abilities for travel, because they're trying to like limit the Hope's movement. And I think that's what ended up getting Gateway killed or something. I might be remembering it wrong. But yeah, he's back, and yeah, he's like some sort of Australian, like Aborigine, or maybe Papua New Guinea. I don't know.
Gotcha.
Yeah, he's a weird character. But man, yeah, that Pyro tattoo is bad.
Yeah, I keep looking at that. I just keep looking at that. Oh, so Gateway creates gateways, and they go through the gateway. Who would have thought? And they go to London? Is that where they're heading?
Yeah, it was supposed to be right out, actually, across from Big Ben and like the London Bridge and all that jazz.
Yeah, and they're now in London.
Yeah, they got chauffeured over to London so they can now be on their new whip, their brand new freaking
giant yacht.
That's like
battle yacht.
Battle yacht. That's what I was gonna say. Yeah, exactly, the battle yacht. Like that's a perfect name for it. Okay, so I see the three cannons on the mid part of the ship. What is that device in the front? I was trying to figure that out. I was looking at it, and I was like, is it some anti-air weapon?
I would say anti-air.
Like a signal jammer or some sort of device that's elaborate like that? Or like a
It could be like a radio jammer. My guess would be just air to ground to air. Something ground to air related.
A SAM site or something, Yeah, it's super tricked out. Massive, massive yacht. Like, everyone's all jazzed about it. Even Storm's like, oh my. And like, and Pyro and his shitty wannabe tattoo is losing his mind.
Yeah.
Even Bishop's like, I'll hang around for a bit, I guess. I have things to do, but I can kick it. I mean, if this is where you guys are hanging out, I can hang out here.
And they essentially, Kitty goes off and does her thing, and we cut back to Sebastian Shaw, and he's all aggro still. He's just like, you think this is fun?
He's like, you're stopping me from making more money, you're edging me out on control. And Emma's like, this is a new era. Like, we are running the Hellfire Club for mutantdom. We are running the Hellfire Club so we can push the mutants forward. We're no longer lining your pockets and ceding your power. Like, you need to chill out, Sebastian. There's nothing that's going to change about what you want. And if you want things to work out for you, you have to play ball in the way we say it. So you can either take that, or you can figure out something else to do, because you're lucky to even be here. And he just flips out when she says that, and she fucking gets slammed on the wall. But she diamonds right away, which was real dope. Like, the timing on that was awesome, and it shows how ready and just sure of herself Emma is. Like, she's broken Sebastian here. Like, she's not even batting an eye, and he's so angry because he knows it. And she just burns him, that little burn right there, where she's like, oh, looks like this wall will just be another thing to add to your red ledger. Yeah. He's like, Yuka, god damn it. And she's just snickering right at his face, and he can't do shit about it.
Nothing you can do. And we cut to, he calls her bitch. He calls her bitch, and he
says, no, there will be no Red King.
There will be no Red King.
He can't pick the Red King, then there will be none.
And Emma's like, actually. And we cut to, who do we cut to, Danny? Who do we cut to?
Captain Pride.
Captain? Yes.
It's Kitty Pride here with epaulets. Fucking epaulets on her goddamn fucking pirate outfit. It's so dope.
Yeah, it's dope.
Poured herself a little glass there, and with her, she brought her rapier to this meeting.
Yeah, it's great.
And a black eye in her face too, like that like bruised eye, like that. Better. Yeah, it kind of adds to her pirate swagger, if you will.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. And then this is what you were revealed to when Kitty left, when she got off of her fancy new ship and she bounced out. She was going here to meet with Emma and kind of like do her meet and greet with Shaw and like kind of bring Emma up to speed. And now Shaw's been brought up to speed by the fact that, you know, we now have a Red Queen, and that's the third leader in the Hellfire Trading Company.
Yes. And that is exciting. I kind of want to do a cosplay of this pirate Kate, genderman pirate Kate.
Yeah, getting to wear like a sword like that and that like duster epaulet combo is dope. Like,
yeah, hell yeah.
Look at those crazy pirate boots too.
She's got the logos too. Awesome, Red Queen bitch.
Who did she steal those clothes from?
Right.
She wasn't wearing it earlier. She's just been jacking things left and right.
Yes, she has. So now we know.
Oh, wait, that was the jacket she stole in the... I just now realized that. That was the
jacket
she
stole
in the tattoo parlor.
Yeah, it's the same jacket. But
Okay.
Shirt's different, though.
I kept forgetting because she always had that red scarf around her neck, and I thought that was what she jacked.
Gotcha.
Oh, no, she had that before that.
You're crazy.
Yeah, I'm nuts.
All right, so here we go.
Here's Lord Imperial.
Yeah. Lord Imperial is a vacant title. It's
not
a person at the moment. Or
it's still going to be a concept. It's still a thing they're working on, but it is not. It's still a vacant slot.
And we got white, which is Emma Frost, black, Sebastian Shaw, and red, Captain Pride.
And this is the Hellfire Trading Company's like breakdown, essentially.
Yeah.
Like how the hierarchy works.
We're breaking it down right now. And under that, we got Bishop working for all of them.
No, that's the Bishop. That's what I thought at first, is like it meant Bishop as the person. But no, it's Bishop as the chess piece.
Gotcha.
If you look under white, Bishop.
Christian Frost.
Christian Frost is Emma's brother.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and he's like her right hand.
Okay, that confused me. That makes so much sense now. Okay, so we do not know the black bishop and the red bishop.
If black bishop was bishop, that'd be kind of fucked up.
Yeah. Or actually, no, we do know the bishops, the black and the red bishops. We're just awaiting their accolades.
Yes, that's true. Because with other characters,
with the knights, we go down to the knights for both white, black, and red. They're all vacant titles at the moment,
and they haven't touched on those, I think, at all in any of the so far. Yeah,
so that should be interesting to see this fleshed out fully. And I'm sure we're going to see Sebastian Shaw get out of line multiple times throughout this.
Yep. Oh yeah, he's pretty much putting time out, and he hates it, and he's looking for any opportunity to get an upper hand on Emma, and I have a feeling that's going to play out later, and I feel even more he's going to end up like Sabretooth. Like, I feel them just going like, you know what, Sebastian, we've tried, it didn't work. He's going to be replaced probably by someone else, maybe the unknown that we know is the Black Bishop. Like, maybe that character, they'll elevate him and they'll get rid of Sebastian.
You think they're going to make Bishop the Black Bishop?
No, I'm talking about who we know as the Black Bishop.
How fucked up if they make Bishop the Black Bishop, though?
Oh, that would be fucked up. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I was like, that would be, like, just weird.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, that's strange, but okay. But yeah, I feel like Sebastian Shaw is going to run into some trouble, and he's going to get too greedy or too frustrated, and his anger is going to get the best of him like it always does, because his hubris always is what does him in. Even when people ally up with him and they try to work with him, eventually he gets too greedy and too prideful, and he just screws over himself and everyone else. So I think they'll just do like they did with Sabretooth, and they'll shove him like below the depths of Krakoa and time out forever. And stasis time out.
Yeah. I hope Pyro dies so that tattoo goes away.
His tattoo is bad too, with on our knuckles.
Hold fast. At least it holds to like the her, I guess, look and brand for this comic.
But that's another type of cast of people that get hand tattoos. That's usually like ex-convicts and shit. Only people in my life I've ever seen have like prison tattoos, or usually people get or tattoos like that usually get them in prison and shit. It's always stupid stuff.
A lot of people have hand tattoos these days.
Oh, yeah, like Jared Leto when he played Joker, sure.
Smile?
It's a great crowd that she's running with, man, sure.
don't talk that way to my girlfriend, my fake girlfriend. Hey, I appreciate it.
Hey, I'm just saying the drinking might be getting to her.
Yeah, she's getting
bad. Sports Bishop going to tattoo parlors. She's getting bad tattoos. I don't know about that. I mean, I'm having a great time, and I'm laughing at her and laughing with her, but there are times where I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I don't know. You think she's probably going through some stuff. You know, she had a failed marriage.
Yeah. Yeah. She seems to be still running from that, but...
She couldn't teach, you know. The school blew up, I think.
It always blows up.
Yeah.
When hasn't the school blown up? That's why they just moved to an island. They did that before, too. They were just like, we can't do this. Let's go to Utopia.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she has some messed up things now to deal with after dating what's his name? Star-Lord?
Oh, yeah. All that nonsense.
Yeah.
Peter Quill's character was always ridiculous, even before the movies. So, yeah. That's going to be interesting. I feel at the end of all this, though, when Rogers is said and done, that Kitty's going to walk away a more well-rounded and flushed-out character in her own right, and then she'll be able to stand kind of like how Wolverine
is. Hope so, because I love her, but she always was a background character.
She fades out until they push her into the limelight, like they're doing right now. They're kind of propping her up. Yeah. But I mean, I'm hoping after this, she'll become like Wolverine and strong in her own right.
Yeah, when's the last time you've seen that? Like Days of Future Past, maybe? I don't know. It's been a while.
During, she reached like her character like culmination in Joss Whedon's run of Astonishing X-Men.
I forgot about Astonishing.
Yeah, that's when she sacrificed herself. And then when she came back, she kind of was like the prelude to this, where like they started to build up towards Avengers vs. X-Men, and she started becoming more of like a forefront character. Like, they made her a teacher at Wolverine's school, and which was really weird. But yeah, I won't tangent on that. It's just they need to consolidate Kitty. At the end of the Marauders arc, she needs to be like that character that will now stand the test of time and can just be on her own.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping. We'll see. Hopefully. They could take her farther down like the negative path, and she could just become broken forever in the end Marauders, and Kitty's just like a really sad, depressing drunk. Now I'm just like, wow, well, way to sideline that character. Fuck. That's the worst case scenario.
Yeah, we shall see. But that will conclude this issue. Danny, what did you think of Marauders issue number 2?
It's good. I liked it. I enjoyed a lot of the building that they're playing off of, using the old like Hickman outlines that they built over Powers and House.
Sure. Like
using the different examples of the panels and like the leaders and the different parts, like compartmentalizing things and breaking it down like that. I've become so used to and accustomed to it that it's just almost rewarding every time I see it now in the X comics. So it also keeps it bookended, like it's all fitting together. Like even though Jerry Duggan is writing this, it still feels like Hickman's hands touched it, like came along and he kind of signed off on it, you know?
Yeah.
So I really appreciate that. I liked all the action. I liked how funny it can be. But my only gripes were just like those weird tattoos.
And like
the weird tattoo and the whole like trying to like use death again for like a moment to like bring up.
That was annoying. That was annoying. Like,
I really hated that. Like, I fucking was just like, this makes no sense. Like, this is out of, like, Pyro's character to be this dumb. Like, it's like they're forcing it. They're trying to make us as the reader go, we don't know if, like, question it. Like, well, maybe Xavier won't come back. It's like, no.
He will.
This isn't supposed to matter. Like, the whole point of that plot device is to take off the plot device of the dead character trope.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm siding with Iceman on this and saying, like, yeah, it's like, believe in it. It's fine. It's been Hickman built this, believe in it, and it's going to keep working the way it is. And later on, you get to kind of see more how it works and how, like, it really is a game changer.
Yeah, I want to see a panel of them just going, yeah, it's fine.
Oh, what? Charles died again? Third time this month.
Yeah.
Fuck. All right. But that's my only gripes about it. It's just the dumb tattoos and the weird, like, trope confusion. But aside from that, I mean, I loved it. It's Marauders. It's fun. I had a great time. I don't know. What are you feeling on this one? What's your bite on this?
I am digging it. Like I said, it puts a smile on my face. I like seeing kind of Emma Frost at her A game as well. She's manipulating, manipulating the arrogance of Sebastian Shaw, knowing that he's gonna fuck up, and taking advantage of that to get what she wants.
I like that Emma is like being written in a way that plays off of her best strengths, and that like during the Messiah trilogy, this is the kind of Emma Frost I like, is where she's trying to help the mutants and she's doing everything she can for them, but she's using her cunning and her coldness to get that done. Like her willingness to just like kind of be steadfast and like deadpan with just, no, this is what we need to do. And if you can't accept it, like, too bad. This is what is going to happen. And I've already put the ball in motion. Because, like, her powers and her abilities make her pretty impressive, but it's her own intelligence and her ability to play the game that makes her so deadly and viable to not only the mutants, but just, like, the story itself.
Absolutely. Like, her intelligence-gathering skills is perfect.
The whole issue was her hand playing out. Like, literally, she was just having a conversation. The whole issue was her having a conversation with Shaw and, like, the ball rolling. And then once the ball gets done rolling, it brings Emma right to them. And it's like the whole story went full circle and lined up. It was perfect. And Emma was key to that.
She really was. And I like that. I like seeing her in this form.
And it feels organic, right? Like, it feels like Emma.
It feels like Emma, yeah.
Do you remember when she, like, did the whole thing with, like, during event... No, not event. Inhumans versus X-Men, where she tried to trick everyone into Scott being dead? And all. It's like, oh, my gosh. They went so heavy-handed with her. Yeah. It was rough. I couldn't even look. I was like, ugh. It was cringy.
And then she disappeared for a while and like hit laid low.
And it was out of character because she wouldn't make mistakes like that. She wouldn't play that hand. She would be more clever and like provocative about it. And it just felt like they wrote her so lazy, like they wanted to paint her as a villain again, like forcefully. After she had done all this time essentially supplanting and becoming the new generation Jean Grey, you know. The new number two to Scott, you know.
Weird blip, a weird moment where she's like, well, we gotta, the means do matter. Who cares if we kill people?
The mutants just, for Scott. Yeah. I'm Scott. Petty. Yeah. I'm a petty child. Ah. It's like, who is writing you? Oh, yeah. Disney.
Unfortunate. But we see the Red Keep finally.
That's true. We do get the headquarters.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Wait. No, we don't get that. We get that in issue 3. We don't get that yet, unfortunately.
Oh, I thought you were talking about on the inside, like where they're chilling and like having this. Oh, is that his house? I thought that was in the Red Keep.
Oh, that's the Black. Well, they each have their own thing.
Yeah, they own their own. Oh, true.
Hers is the Red Keep. His is the Black. I don't know, something.
Sword Manor, Black Manor, I think it's something like that.
And, yeah. But, yeah, that is it for Marauders issue number 2. What any last thoughts or things that you want to point out in this issue?
Oh, I'm glad you said that. Quick nod to the go-to moment, the MVP moment was the other burn that Emma Frost had on Sebastian Shaw. Not only that one burn about him adding more like money to like what he owes, but like she made that joke about like him burning through money so bad and making like bad financial decisions so badly that it must be a secondary mutation of his. That's and I was like, "Oh, X-Men burn, burn."
That X-Gene burn.
God damn. That was fucking awesome but savage. And it fucking is just so funny to see the mythos and like the chronology played with that way, like the concept of secondary mutations being relegated down to a burn. Like, I loved that. Yeah, it's fucking beautiful. Marauders, man, fucking Marauders. That's all I got to say about this.
It's good stuff. I'm having fun. Next issue of Marauders, we'll meet Shinobi Shaw. What do you remember about Shinobi Shaw?
Absolutely nothing. I forgot Sebastian even had a son.
Yes. We're gonna
Just say I never even knew actually he had a son. That's better to put it. Like I literally knew nothing.
Me neither. I mean vaguely. I knew the name. And possibly like a small wiki.
You probably stumbled upon one night when you were just like, oh, Sebastian Shaw's a son? And then you read about it and you're like, okay, well, I'm not going to remember any of this because it'll never come up in comics again.
Yeah.
Wrong we all were.
Wrong we all were.
Thanks to Hickman, we can mine all X-Men characters forever.
Exactly. There's so many, too, to mine. But we're going to find out that Sebastian Shaw wanted him to be the Red King and kind of him... Still being bitter, and still being butthurt. It's kind of funny watching him be this butthurt kind of character.
But he gets a little payoff, because, you know, Shinobi's back, and he's just like, whoa.
Yeah.
My boy.
My boy.
He's like a grown man, and I picture Sebastian just picking him up and like cradling him.
Like a big ass
legs just kicking into the air. If only.
If only. Any final thoughts on Marauders before we wrap this bitch up and set sail?
Get ready for Marauders issue 3. That's all I can say.
That'll be in a month or so probably from now. But next week, we are going... Where are we going? Excalibur?
I think that's the follow-up to Excalibur. Or we should be on Excalibur now, right?
Excalibur issue number 2.
Yeah.
So that should be interesting. We're going back to that Braddock world.
Yeah, dealing with all that magic and apocalypse and all the fun stuff. I'm excited for Excalibur. Those have been great too.
Yeah.
Marauders and Excalibur, those are the breakout series of the new X-Men comics.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm digging them. And it's cool. Like I said earlier, magic. I want to see more magic.
Yeah.
So that will be fun, but that will be it this week, everyone. I am Kyle. I'm with Danny. Remember, the robots are going to kill you, so just live your life and have a good time. See you next week.